The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, good afternoon to you. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov. And just to come in on that last comment about other places in Europe where that you can't think of except for France, there have been cases in Belgium, Bulgaria, and various other countries where Jews have been killed in the last decade or so simply for being Jewish.
Yeah. Interesting discussion we're having. But Rolene, there is too much happening in Israel for us to dwell on that issue. Wow. Yeah, I wish we had double the time today. I'm going to let you start off where you want to, but I want to definitely talk about the ICC.
I think we have to start off by talking about the ICC and the announcement on Friday night, and I specifically say Friday night because they intentionally announced it as Shabbat came in, thinking that we would probably not comment too much on it, but this is Israel and we do keep a hawkish eye on things that affect us. But they announced that they would be going forward or giving itself the authority to adjudicate a group of jurists to investigate Israel, and I also have to add in here, and Hamas for alleged war crimes. And the big discussion around this is whether or not the ICC actually has the jurisdiction to go ahead and do it. So they've said that they are granting jurisdiction over East Jerusalem, Gaza, and the West Bank. However, it's started a debate. We've had the Prime Minister commenting, saying that this is anti-Semitic and a witch hunt. And, you know, I'm always loath to jump straight to the accusation that something is anti-Semitic. I think we have to be very careful as we push forward so that, you know, when there are sincere incidents of anti-Semitism, that they don't go unnoticed or fall by the wayside, or the severity is not seen as it is. However, I can see where the Prime Minister is making this comparison, because when we have a dire situation in Xiaoping in China with the Uyghur people who are being rounded up into concentration camps for re-education, raped, involuntarily sterilized, and the ICC say they do not accept any calls for investigations into China, or we sit with a situation with Syria right on our border, as has been the situation for the last decade or so, or we look at Iran, or we look at other places in the world, why specifically Israel? You know, we've heard some strong words coming from Australia over the weekend, saying that is the ICC becoming like other institutions known for their flagrant bias against the Jewish state. We've heard from the State Department. They're releasing a statement saying they are very, very concerned about the ICC trying to exercise jurisdiction over an area where it certainly has no jurisdiction. And that is the big debate right now. Does the ICC have a right to investigate Israel? And from Israel's perspective, certainly not. Israel is not a signatory to the Rome Statute. Now, people will say, yes, but international law. And here's where it gets very, very interesting. International law essentially is governed by treaties and agreements between countries and various bodies. It does not necessarily give one institution the legal jurisdiction over another. And this is where it gets very tricky, and where we have these ongoing debates and discussions about international law. And this is where the Rome Statute is very, very, very important here. The ICC has given itself the power to exercise authority, but Israel has never agreed to abide by the statute. So anything that's found by the ICC is not binding on Israel. And again, I'm going to clarify, international law is not a compilation of legislation as we know it, but rather a collection of treaties by which sovereign states have agreed to abide. But what this could mean is that Israeli military officials, soldiers who travel abroad could be arrested for alleged war crimes if those countries deem it fit. Naftali Bennett, who served as defense minister several administrations ago, said put him at the top of the list. You know, if you're going to carry out these kind of witch hunts, put him at the top of the list. The defense minister at the moment, Benny Gantz, has come out saying that the IDF and the defense ministry will do everything in its power to protect its military personnel. But it's going to be very interesting to see whether or not they really do investigate Hamas and what they investigate Hamas for, because they've made it very clear what they have intention of investigating Israel for.
Thank you for being quite so objective and reasoned about it. I can't. I'm way more emotional than that. I'm thinking that a body that was founded after World War II, the biggest slaughter of human beings in history, a genocide which was set up to protect Jews, is now persecuting them.
Well, this is why we have the Prime Minister and, to an effect, the Foreign Minister saying that this is an anti-Semitic witch hunt. But, you know, as an analyst, as a journalist, I have to try and be as objective as possible. And, you know, from the other perspective, I look at it and I think this is a body that is tasked with the mandate of upholding human rights and the sanctity and dignity of human rights. Why are they silent on the persecution of Uyghurs? Why have they dismissed the calls for investigation into the situation there? Is this because of this body that is built on legal parameters has become a body that's built more on political agendas? This certainly seems to be the direction that the ICC is going in.
Okay, we're going to leave it there because I'm having a chat about the ICC a little later. So let's talk about other news happening in Israel. Let's talk lockdown.
Well, we have lifted lockdown as of the early hours of yesterday morning. Well, 7 o'clock to be precise. I don't know, Simon, I'm up before 7. So lockdown started for me. I at least left my bedroom earlier than 7 o'clock. But yeah, at the moment, the situation is as follows. We have started to slowly lift the lockdown. Now, there's still discussions about whether or not we should open schools. Some thought that schools will be scheduled to open tomorrow. This is not the case. The coronavirus cabinet have said that schools will not open on Tuesday, and they're still meeting to discuss this issue. At the moment, Ben Gurion Airport is closed until the 20th of February. So we still have the airport closed for at least another 2 weeks. And what I find very interesting is that one of our MOUs with the UAE is to participate at the very prestigious IDEX conference, which is taking place in Abu Dhabi on the 21st. And a lot of Israeli companies are exhibiting there. You know, will they be able to get there? We really, really hope so. That's just an aside. But also concerns coming in again that last night we had another massive funeral in Bnei Brak for a rabbi who passed away of COVID-19. This, of course, is raising the temperatures of many, many Israelis. And also we've had comments earlier today that if the rate of infection does not come down, then we're going to be looking at another lockdown over Pesach, which is not what we want, having not experienced or had Pesach with our families last year. So it is becoming an issue. And at this juncture, I feel very sorry for our police services because they cannot seem to enforce rule of law over the elements within the Haredi communities that absolutely refuse to comply.
Ro, a couple of articles that I read over the weekend were stating that it is unlikely that Israel will reach herd immunity because certain sectors of the public just refuse to be vaccinated. The vaccine is working, doing what it was intended to do. Who are these people who won't be vaccinated? Are they identifiable as groups, or is it just individuals spread all over the place?
Well, it's an interesting question because it's not so much individuals. We don't have that big anti-vax movement or community here. What we do have is certain elements of certain sectors of society who refuse to be vaccinated. I mean, one of the stories that is just, I mean, you really can't make this up, is within the a certain sect of the ultra-Orthodox community, and I hate pointing fingers, I really do, but unfortunately this is a fact, that this week young students gathered in their droves to shake his hand for good luck, but they refused to be vaccinated. This is at a time when we are being encouraged to maintain maintain social distancing. We also have elements within the Arab community who do not want to be vaccinated. Hence the Prime Minister, when we vaccinated our millionth person, specifically went to the Arab community to try and encourage members of that community to get vaccinated. We do have the odd individuals here or there that think that they're going to have a disturbance to their DNA should they get vaccinated. But for the most part, the majority of Israelis are out there getting vaccinated. You know, the prospect of having a green passport, being allowed to travel, being allowed to go to restaurants is certainly great motivation. And that was trying to get back to some normalcy. We've already heard discussions that travel corridors could be opened up between Israel and Greece and the UK and Estonia for those who are vaccinated.
Ro, I hate the fact that we're out of time, but we're more than out of time, and we didn't even get through half of what we had planned. Why am I not surprised? Thank you again for your input today, and yeah, we'll have to talk more quickly tomorrow.
I promise to speed up my tempo.
Thank you, Rolene Marks.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.